AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. What was the biggest story in agriculture in 2021? What about the person that had the greatest influence on ag? And each year has a significant event that deserves attention. This week's Farmer Forum comes your way via Iowa and Ohio.
Live from the final trek into the foothills of Hump Day this year via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Jim Wiesmeyer and Brian Grady, both from Pro Farmer. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Ben Renchie and Glenn Newcomer. Right after the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Lowry.
All right, Davis. Yeah, sometimes that trek to the top of the hill on hump day is long and torturous. It's moving right along this week. Moving right along. Well,
I think so, too. Yeah, I think we're in good shape here. Yeah,
exactly. You know, even though for the commodity trading world and the equity trading world, the week is going to be a little longer than for many. And I'm not saying all, because, of course, farmers are going to be working on Friday. But it's some kind of a weird rule that goes all the way. I mean, it's the last time that this rule was enforced was back, I think, in 2011. So 10 years ago, I think that's right. But it basically says that if the holiday falls on a weekend, you can't cancel trade for 3 days in a row is basically what it means if that holiday falls on a weekend. Now, in 2011, they at least let us out early on New Year's Eve day. But not so much this year. Full trading schedule for the equities and for the commodities.
Well, you know what that means. That's a full
we'll be here.
AgriTalk schedule as well.
That's
you
right.
Betcha.
That's right. Yeah. We will be here with a live show for you on Friday afternoon. You know what? I'll just go ahead and promote it right now. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net has graciously volunteered to be on with you and I on that afternoon show on New Year's Day. Or New Year's Eve day. Right.
New Year's Eve day. New Year's Day Eve. No.
We've got a great show today. We've got a great show today.
Let's focus on that.
Right. We're going to talk with Brian Grady and Jim Wiesmeyer, look back at 2021. Then a Farmer Forum, Ben Renchie from Iowa, Glenn Newcomer from Ohio. Man, it's going to be a great conversation. I'm looking forward to it. Let's go ahead and get started with the news.
Chip, global benchmark Brent crude oil futures are up more than 14.5% since the beginning of the month, trading near $80 per barrel on Tuesday for the first time since late November. West Texas Intermediate crude up nearly 7% over a week ago. Meanwhile, gasoline prices have fallen nationally. Now, while the U.S. Energy Administration predicts ongoing gasoline price pressure, Petroleum analyst Patrick DeHaan believes the decline is set to reverse, Chip.
Yeah, the U.S. Energy Administration should go ahead and stick with reporting data, because based on everything that I'm seeing in this market, when we get into 2022, the pressure is going to be to the upside on gas prices, not down.
Well, we've got OPEC Plus countries did not heed the urgings of the U.S. to increase oil output, as the cartel was seeking to provide markets with clear guidance and not shift from its stated policy, according to Russian Energy Minister Alexander Novak. He also said he expected crude prices to range between $65 and $80 per barrel in 2022.
Seems like a wide range, but it's not. It's a $15 range, so that's kind of a narrow target that he's working with.
Feels a little conservative on the top end, too.
It does. It does. Yep.
China will take, quote, drastic measures if Taiwan makes moves toward independence, a Beijing official warned today, adding that Taiwan's provocations and outside meddling could intensify next year. China claims democratically governed Taiwan as its own territory, and in the past 2 years has stepped up military and diplomatic pressure to assert its sovereignty claim, fueling anger in Taipei and concern in Washington. So we bounce from Russia, Ukraine. Now we talk China and Taiwan.
And Taiwan. And right there, China will take drastic measures if Taiwan makes moves towards independence. The rest of the world sees Taiwan as an independent country already. Mm-hmm. And China says, we're going to take drastic measures if they make a move. That's a hot spot for 22. There's no question.
And it's interesting the bromance that we noted, especially in the month of December in the news, between Vladimir Putin and Chinese leader Xi Jinping. Yeah. It's almost as if they're reading the same books or something. I don't know.
Yep.
Maybe they joined the same book club.
Might be working with the same brain.
Yeah. At China's Central Economic Work Conference earlier this month, Beijing identified securing the supply of primary goods such as ag products and minerals as one of five significant issues to prepare for amid global challenges. The leader of the CCP, Xi Jinping, said at the conference that China must establish a strategic baseline to ensure self-sufficiency in key commodities. For securing the supply of primary products will help advance the country's long-term agenda. I like the way that sounds for export demand.
Yeah, it does sound good. And there's a talk that they're going to be trying to ramp up their soybean production, but that might be years off.
Well, and finally, USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service announced Tuesday it is looking to recognize Lithuania as a country eligible to export egg products to the United States. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Chip. I'm just so glad that our little Wednesday touch points are helping me remember what day it is this week between Christmas and New Year's. It's Wednesday. Yeah. I'm on AgriTalk.
It's Wednesday. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I'm glad that we can help. So we're going to be talking about the stories and people of the year for 2021. What about from the ag retail area?
Yeah, I think that this is such a gift, even though we don't know what day it is this week, but to be able to reflect back on the year that we just had. And I just pulled from our website analytics, what were those top performing trending stories of 2021? Mm-hmm. And number one is the C word, carbon. I think we will all look back on 21 as the year that so many of these programs became widely available and promoted. And as a lot of our coverage at The Scoop has shown, that the ag retailer and the consultant play such an incredible role in helping these carbon programs in their implementation and promotion to farmers.
Yeah.
Another top topic would be kind of that human resources. I'm going to give it that umbrella because a top performing story of ours was the 40 under 40, where our sponsor New Farm helped us recognize 40 individuals at ag retail locations doing outstanding work as the trusted advisor. But also under that umbrella would be our annual salary survey, where we assess the compensation for sales agronomists and custom applicators.
Sure.
And then not surprisingly, number three, I'm going to say would be under all the new products that were introduced. And I'll give one more final plug. We have 2 days left to vote for The Scoop's new product of the year. Folks can go to thedailyscoop.com at the very top trending bar, click on new products, and they can cast their vote from our 10 finalists, which are always hard to pick. But this year, particularly so, as we had a bounty of new products introduced for the ag retail market.
Yep. Cool. And I know that the supply chain really got a lot of attention in your coverage out there as well this year. Margie, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in 2022. All right.
See you guys next year.
All right. That is Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Coming up next, Pro Farmers Brian Grady and Jim Wiesmeyer.
Ah, name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Brian Grady, can you name that tune? Can you name that tune?
Can you name that tune, Brian? I never meant to call you in sorrow. Come on, Brian, you can do it.
You got this. You got it.
Brian, are you there?
Yeah.
I think we lost Brian.
I'm thinking real hard here. This is out of my genre.
Oh, come on. You said it yesterday afternoon. We had a great conversation, and it was the first one that you came up with.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing chord.
had to go. No, I'm not. It had to go deeper into the song. I might know the refrain, but I'm telling you, you get much outside of country music, and I'm just like,
I'll bet Wiesmeyer knows what that one was.
I didn't hear it too well, but it had Prince overtones.
There you go.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
Oh, he got it from the overtones even.
From the overtones. Superfan. Jeez.
Super fan.
That's right.
Obviously.
That's right. A little purple rain coming your way. So, okay. Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. For those of you that are wondering what in the heck was that all about, we had a conversation about Prince with Brian Grady yesterday afternoon on AgriTalk.
That's right. That's right.
That seems so weird to say.
Brian Grady yesterday.
That seems so weird to say. A conversation with Brian Grady about Prince.
It wasn't very long, I can tell you. It was a very, very short conversation. If we're talking Prince, it's way, way, way out of my comfort zone. I know nothing.
Oh, boy. Well, you proved that wrong because you did come up with not only one song title, but with just a little bit of coaxing, you came up with a second one.
Well, so no, quite a bit of coaxing. And I wasn't even certain that was right after I said it. I mean, that's the thing. I had to ask several times if I was correct or not.
All right, let's get to it. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady and Pro Farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. You guys are used to hearing their voices on AgriTalk. And as I said, we had a great conversation with Brian yesterday afternoon about what's going on in the markets. Covered basically all the grains and the livestock markets yesterday. So give that a listen if you missed it. The reason we've got him on today is because we're taking a look back at 2021. Pro Farmer every year selects the Pro Farmer Ag Person of the Year, the Ag Story of the Year, the Ag Event of the Year. And we're going to talk about what they selected for 2021. And I find it interesting, guys, and Brian, I'm going to go to you because this was your doing at the top of the page where you discuss all of these issues. You had it 2021, the year of rising prices. So inflation, obviously, is a dominant story of 2021.
Absolutely. It was the story of the year that we picked and it encompassed basically everything. Everybody, dealt with it, including agriculture in a big way. And that'll continue into the new year, fertilizer prices being one there, but it helped inflate corn, soybean, wheat prices beyond what their fundamentals would argue would be fair value at the current day. So I think without a doubt, inflation was the story of 2021.
Yeah. And when I saw the idea and first read it, I was thinking, boy, you know what? COVID was all over the place again. But COVID had an influence on this because of some of the supply chain disruptions, right?
Absolutely. And COVID, that was the story in 2020. No doubt about that. That was a no-brainer. And it kind of morphed into being this inflation story and the reaction to the COVID stuff and all the supply chain issues that we dealt with and so on. That story progressed, and the progression stage of it was the inflationary environment around the world.
Right, right. And Jim, it dovetailed with the selection of Person of the Year, and in this case, there were co-persons of the year. But one of them is Fed Chairman Jay Powell. The inflationary story has got to be a big part of the reason for that selection.
Well, that, and there was a mixture of reasons. He and the Fed did a very good job handling the negative impacts on the U.S. economy from COVID, but then they were reticent regarding the inflation aspect. Now, recently, near the end of the year, they came around, and now they're dealing with inflation. Because prior to that, Chip, as you well know, they called it transitory. It is not.
Yeah, Brian gave us a lecture yesterday afternoon on why transitory was just a terrible choice of description for inflation this year. Go over, give us the cliff notes on that, Beej.
Well, I know far more about word choices and word meanings and semantics than I do about Prince songs. So I am not an economist, but I can tell you that the biggest misstep that Powell and the rest of the Fed and Treasury Secretary Yellen had was using the term transitory and digging in their heels and stubbornly sticking to it. Now, some of the Fed governors transitioned from that, but Powell did not until we got to December here. And that, in my opinion, was maybe the largest misstep in modern day times for a Fed official, is sticking with that transitory too long. It, you know, everybody but him knew it, and he knew it too. He just wanted to, you know, wanted to stick with it and hope that he was right, and he wasn't. He was wrong.
All right. What other people did you consider for that? And I want to spend just a short period of time on this, but what other people, what other stories did you consider?
Well, the supply chain constraints that we talked about earlier, you know, climate change was huge and is going to be a huge story as we transition into 2022. That was everywhere with the new administration. And you know, it's across the board. It's everything that the government and administration is trying to do now is climate change based. So that will be an evolving story as we move forward. Weather, almost every year, you can mention weather, but the La Nina impacts around the world had a major impact on the ag markets because they somewhat balanced out the balance sheet, so to speak. You know, huge changes in the corn and soybean balance sheets because of what went on down in South America, here in the United States, and those types of things.
Right, right. Okay, I mentioned that there was a co-person of the year, and we talked to him early last week, Jim. But boy, let's talk about it right now. Colin Peterson.
Yeah, former, you know, the House Ag Committee chairman. And he started in the press writing about the downside if Congress were to legislate the end of stepped up basis. He called it the transfer tax. And he began the focus on that, Chip. And I think he did a very good job because a lot of Democrats listened to him, and they did.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to think because, you know, I over the years, I had the honor of being able to select 17 of those Ag People of the Year. And I'm not too sure if this wasn't Colin's second go around on it. Was it, Jim?
Well, you know, I can't remember. I can't remember. It could have been relative to the farm bill when he got through, probably. But I think we're going to have to look that up, Brian.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, Chip. You know, had huge influence. Jim mentioned, you know, some of the stuff here recently, but the dairy policy when he was in Congress and so on.
And just, sugar.
Sugar, well-respected, you know, could work across party lines, and that's something that we just don't have much of anymore in D.C.
Right. Okay, we've only got a little over a minute left, but we've got to get to the event of the year. And I'm glad you picked this one, Beej. I'm glad that you picked this one. Tell us about it.
Well, it's the Pro Farmer Crop Estimates, and they came after the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Now, they're two separate things. Crop Tour is the data gathering, and the estimates are Pro Farmer numbers that use that data gathering that we do the third week of August across the Corn Belt, but take into account other factors you know, our estimates on August 20th ended up being the exact same as what USDA estimated in November and on both corn and soybeans, hit it to the exact tenth of a bushel. So very unusual that anybody in
August. It's very unusual for USDA to get it right like they did this year.
yeah. And, you know, and to think that we did this in August and it took them all the way to November to get there. I mean, that's probably the amazing thing is that they didn't get there quicker. I don't know why they weren't listening.
That's exactly right, dude. I'm glad to hear that. You know, do you remember held up the picture of the radar that night and said, boy, we can't back off on this bean yield. Rains are moving across. And that, boy, I'm glad that that we did that. You guys, thank you so much for everything that you did in 2021. Looking forward to 22, man.
You bet, Chip.
Sure. All right, that's Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady and Jim Wiesmeyer. Farmer Forum up next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Back with us, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, you know, I don't want to put too much on what is happening the last couple of days of trade in 21, but the buying's come back to this corn market. That is impressive. They're trying to defend $6.
Well, I'll tell you, the impressive thing is that we got down to $5.99.5, so we did breach that $6 yeah. level that you mentioned. Also bounced off the 10-day moving average, so the price action, the technical price action here, this morning tells me that the bulls are still alive. They haven't given up hope yet, and so we'll see where it goes from here. But for now, they're definitely defending the key levels that they need to on the price chart.
Soybeans are trading a little bit lower right now, but if corn stays on the plus side along with wheat and soybean oil, that might change before the end of the day.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put too much into the trade. You know, I think the corn action, because of the technical implications, is probably a greater indicator than soybeans. We do have the meal market under some pressure this morning, and that's weighing on soybeans.
Yeah, after two big down days, we've got a little bit of strength going in the wheat market here this morning too. Okay, take us over to livestock trade because the cattle complex is making a move.
Yeah, so cash cattle trade, you know, it didn't know what was going to develop. It was slow developing on the negotiations, but we're now hearing higher prices, maybe upwards of $2 higher $2. On some cash trade. So that's given the live cattle some fuel. And feeder cattle, they're trading to the upside despite the strength in the corn market this morning.
Yeah, what about hogs? A little bit of strength there, too.
Yeah, most of those contracts are firmer, especially in the front end of things. We get to the far back end, you do find a little bit of price pressure, but February hogs are trading moderately higher this morning.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Jeff Laurie. We've got the Farmer Forum going here in just a moment. Farmer Forum is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, which brings farmers in the sustainability community together around the future of farming by bringing profitable, planet-friendly farming practices into the mainstream. The movement is organized by Trust in Food, which is a Farm Journal initiative, and in partnership with the Farm Journal Foundation. Learn more about it. Go to www.agweb.com/ACAM. Let's get it going. Ben Renchie from Iowa. How are you this morning, Ben? It's good to talk with you. Well.
Hey, winter.
There he is. Let's start that over. We missed it. How are you, Ben?
Great, Chip. Good to talk to you on this second morning of winter in eastern Iowa today.
Yeah, it held off, I guess, long enough, but there's a little bit of snow getting pushed around last night and this morning, and I guess you can only put it off for so long. So, all right, we've got
breaks my heart to hear the sound of my kids with the scoop shovels outside this morning.
Yeah. Love it. Glenn Newcomer over in Ohio. Glenn, welcome. I think this is your first Farmer Forum, isn't it, Glenn?
Actually, it's my second, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess we interviewed when we had the Farm Journal virtual tour here a couple years ago. But
yep.
Yeah, this is the second time we've had a conversation. It's a pleasure to visit with you this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad that we can get this going here. And I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, why in the heck haven't we had Glenn on more often? We need to do that. So glad to get you guys on here. You were both the hosts of the Farm Journal Field Days back in August of 2020. So, yeah, good stuff. All right, guys, I want to start by at least briefly looking back, because I know that 2021 was kind of an important year for you, Glenn, on many fronts. But look back at 21, and what are you going to remember the most about it?
You know, in my farming career, I look back at all of the different growing seasons we've experienced, the highs and the lows, and you know, I can reflect on a year like 2019 when we were the center of the prevent plant area, that we just couldn't get anything planted. We kind of had a recovery in 20. But in 21, we had one of those unusual years where everything hit. I mean, we had the absolute most perfect weather that we could have expected. We had record crops in all three crops for corn, soybeans, and wheat. And with the commodity prices, with the appreciation of that, where we had inputs bought last year, I guess to say we hit a home run, it's more like saying we hit a grand slam this year. It's just really exciting right now to see what can potentially happen when we get favorable weather.
Yeah. Well, favorable weather and throw into it, like you said, these commodity prices, holy smokes, it's not only a grand slam, it's kind of a walk-off grand slam. And a lot of people are, a lot of operations, I think, Ben, are trying to figure out exactly how to take that revenue from 21 and the profit from 21 and use it the best, not just in 2022, but in 23. We'll talk about that more in just a bit. But Ben, when you look at last year or this year, what are you going to remember the most?
Any year that you don't have a derecho is better than a year when you do have a derecho. That's what I'm going to remember, Chip.
Okay. Did you stay out of that mini derecho? I mean, we had those high winds in northeast Iowa.
I lucked out. In what we farm in that profile, we had soybeans, and it didn't take it on the chin like the corn.
Okay, gotcha. But Good stuff. Okay. Well, but come on, more than that, there's got to be – this was a good year on the revenue side, Ben.
Yeah. It's going to take most of the bonus, if you felt like you had a bonus last year, to put the crop back in 2022. And that's a hard conversation to have with most of my suppliers and landlords. But when you're ready for it, Chip, I've got my New Year's resolutions made for the upcoming year.
I seem to remember these from the past. I don't want to get to it yet, because what you're talking about, that hard conversation, it all comes back to inputs. And both of you mentioned that, hey, when we have a conversation, we need to talk about this input situation for 2022. How are you managing it, Ben?
Well, number one, don't make any decisions in this environment that are going to permanently change your production cost structure. I mean, I look at equipment prices right now. I mean, the fertilizer thing and the price increases on fuel, they're all transient, you know.
Okay.
High prices will eventually fix high prices, and lack of availability, yeah, it's painful right now. But this isn't the phase of the cycle where you want to go out and permanently build your farm for $5 corn, say, or $6 corn, right, or $13 soybean. Don't be biting off things that right now, wait a year, get some working capital, then make those things.
Okay.
The second thing I had on my mind today, Glenn, you know, yesterday, people probably don't believe we do our homework before this, but Glenn shared in his email some great, great points that probably need a lot of examination. But my quick two other points are, two, pay down debt. I mean, everybody is just all lathered up about buying things that'll prosper well in inflation, buying, you know, equipment, buying land and that. holy smokes, this is the phase of the cycle where you lock in fixed rates, have a garage sale, get rid of that equipment in the back of the machine shed you don't need. We've exterminated all the 1996 pickups from my farm on Craigslist. You know, be the contrarian. What's cool now is the land that we bought a decade ago and the tractors we bought 2 years ago. That's what's cool. So now's the time to be the other guy. You know, use the windfall to pay down debt. Yeah. And then third, and this is probably my most important takeaway.
Okay.
Don't surrender working capital on this buying cycle. I mean, we've spent 5 years beating suppliers back that they used our money to hold their inventory. This time around, you know, they're asking, you know, to get inputs bought early. And it's taking our money again. If you're going to do that, consider putting up your own facilities. Handle your own fertilizer. Build your own grain storage. There you go.
Yep. Glenn, you did some of that a year ago, didn't you?
You know, sometimes you get lucky. And a year ago, we had some plans of what we thought we were going to be needing in the future. And we committed on some of the projects that we completed this year. We put up additional grain storage. We put up a new seed warehouse this year. Those were very impactful in the savings that we attained from what it would cost if we would be doing that today. And so those were good decisions that we were making at the end of last year. But one of the things to add, in addition to what Ben just talked about, one of the things we did this year with landlords is that we moved many of them over to flex cash rents. We left the base rent kind of where it had been in the past, and we built kind of an addendum that we added on to it that we offered our landlords and just said, hey, if we have a good year this year, we want to share the benefit of that with you. And so looking forward into 22, I think because we have that in place now, because of the size of the bonus that they received or stipend that they received on their land this year, I'm going to be able to maintain that type of a flex cash rent with my landlords. And as far as that fixed cost is, we will revisit what levels will we pay a premium in addition to that, because as we've been all aware, the fixed cost, the operating cost that we're going to be faced with this next year will be bigger. We're going to be playing in a bigger sandbox. It's going to be a bigger budget, and we just have to adjust accordingly. So that in itself is going to ease some of the stress on my budget for the coming year, just knowing that we're going to have some flexibility in understanding with our landlords.
Well, and it keeps the costs in front of your landlords, right, Glenn?
Absolutely. Having that sometimes it's a difficult conversation. It's one that a lot of farmers try to shy away from, but I don't want the landlord coming to me asking for an increase. I want to be proactive, and I want to show them and demonstrate to them, here's the reality of the cost of what it costs to produce a bushel of corn, and make them fully aware and partner with them so that they have an understanding.
Yeah. What's your take on that, Ben?
Well, you know, the perfect flex lease was in place years and years ago, and it was called Crop Share. The problem with Crop Share is it opens the, you know, back when you could represent yourself to a landlord based on your skill and timeliness and ability and things like that. What happened is that it got too complex. I mean, it wasn't, you know, your landlord doesn't want to know the cocktails you put together to control weeds or, you know, doesn't want to know about too much about the sophistication of your production machinery. So, you know, what we do is we try and simulate it through these flex rents. And I think it's great. I think what Glenn brings up about risk sharing, which is what this is really all about, is a great, great step in the right direction. I applaud you, Glenn, for making that move. We've done it as much as we could. It's a little hard when you have a few high bids floating around, like I could just take those cookies and not mess with your chart. But I love it. I love it, Glenn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the reasons that I can appreciate what you're talking about there, Glenn, is that type of an agreement on land builds that relationship.
Absolutely.
It gives you a reason to be in contact with that landowner, whether it be a trust or an individual. It gives you an opportunity and a reason to be in contact with them more than once or twice a year. And that never hurts. Okay, we are talking with Glenn Newcomer from Ohio and Ben Renchie from Iowa. 2022 challenges and carbon markets next.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Let's not waste any time. Let's get right back to it. The Farm Reform is brought to you by ACAM. That's America's Conservation Ag Movement. www.agweb.com/ACAM for more. Ben Renchie in Iowa, Glenn Newcomer over in Ohio. Ben, I can't even believe that I forgot this, man. It's game day. It's game day for the Staters.
I'm sorry. My mouth is full of Cheez-Its right now. Captain Brock Purdy is going to take us to victory here. Watch out, Dabo Swinney and crew.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm with you 100%, and I can't wait for 4:45 to roll around. Can't get there fast enough. All right. Glenn, Davis wanted me to ask you a question because you were talking about some of your the input costs and the rising prices.
Yes.
Give us 30 seconds on land values in Ohio. What's going on there?
Land values are extremely strong in Ohio. You know, it's kind of a moving target right now. If there's a parcel that two people are interested in, it's unknown of where that possibly could go to just because of the demand. There's really not much land on the market right now. So when anything comes up, generally there's some interest in it. I see a lot of strength in it, and I don't think that it's going to be quite a while before we see a change in that. It's very, very beneficial to balance sheets.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, let's talk about the 2022 challenges. And I know you're both going to talk about inputs, but Ben, is that the number one challenge for the year ahead?
Oh, clearly, secure them wherever you can, whenever you can. And like I say, don't surrender your working capital to get it. If you're going to stockpile, make sure do it something that's long-term strategic for you. Like hold the inventory at your place. Don't finance inventories for a vendor.
Okay. Now, are you more worried then? If you're saying don't sacrifice your working capital this year, are you looking more towards 2023 when we are likely to be in a higher interest rate environment before you really start tapping that working capital? No?
No, I think the challenge is now, Chip. No.
Oh.
Yeah, the challenge is now.
Okay.
Pay down debt. You know, if you're going
gotcha.
To buy inputs, hold them. So.
Gotcha.
But you did say something that triggered my real interest. That's when carbon markets.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I got to do a full disclosure on this one. I'm working with Indigo Ag on a webinar called Carbon Farming Connection. It's January 13th. You've got time to learn more about that. Ben has been working with Indigo Ag in developing the carbon markets, and Indigo sent out their first checks to farmers in 2021. Ben, where do you see this market going?
Well, full disclosure, too, I'm on a farmer advisory board for them, mm-hmm. But it has given me a perspective to see things, do a little more homework on it than most. And what I'd like to encourage other farmers, use this opportunity to reinvent your production model. I mean, there's plenty of people in Washington, D.C. right now who think that you can replace commercial fertilizer and with cover crops. And there's some improvements you can make in that direction. But, short of a mini Sri Lanka where they decreed organic farmer and then they found out organic farming is the law of the land and then crashed production, you can use this to dip your toes in the water. But if you're going to dip your toes in the water, find a program that has market-based pricing for the carbon. You know, I don't think this is a market in its infancy. This is a market that's just starting to take off. And as a farmer, I underestimated how much the rest of the world really wants to see climate change addressed and carbon is part of that and soil health and things like that. So the value for carbon is probably nowhere but north.
Okay.
And I don't think I'd sign into a program where you set the price for it all today.
Okay. All right. Glenn, what about you? How far have you dipped your toe into those waters?
Well, I have not really investigated and spent enough time investigating and getting familiarized with carbon credits. I mean, I know there are programs out there. I know it's something that we need to focus on, and I may call Ben after this and have a conversation with him about this, but I know that it's receiving a lot of attention, and if it's out there, it's something that we do need to become more familiar with.
Yeah, okay. Couple of minutes left. We got to get to it. Ben, you piqued my interest earlier. Okay, let's get into these New Year's resolutions.
Okay, well, I've been, you know, the list again, the simple list is don't permanently change your production cost structure. You know, okay. Take a year breather. Take the extra money from the crops this year, and you're going to need most of it to put next year's crop back in. So, You know, if we're still $6 corn next year, then think about the new tractor sort of line of thought. This is what I'm doing. If anybody, it helps anybody else there. Number two, be the contrarian. Pay down debt in this cycle. I mean, my son and son-in-law are all excited about having assets that are going to go up in inflation and that, you know, money's going to be cheap. I'm sorry. I feel the exact opposite way. And we have these spirited family debates. I say this is the point of the cycle where it's cool to pay down the debt because it's so darn easy. Lock in fixed interest rates. Use credit to make the capital purchases you have to do now. Preserve working capital. Be the contrarian. Like I say, the tractor I bought 2 years ago is really cool. The land I bought a decade is cool. And third, I feel like I'm beating this home a third time. If you're going to, you know, we've spent five years claiming our working capital back. It was buy ahead a year. You had a crop in the bin, a crop in the field, and a crop tied up for next year's inputs. We spent 5 years clawing it back. Don't just surrender it.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Glenn, give me 30 seconds on what's got you optimistic for 2022.
Well, obviously, it's hard to have a perfect crystal ball looking to the future here. But, you know, I guess when you look at the overall profitability that we have at our fingertips right now for the coming year, I would encourage most guys to take a very, very aggressive defensive approach of locking in profits and putting a base under the risk that they're going to be assuming. As I said earlier, we're going to be playing in a bigger sandbox in 2022. Bigger budgets, more risk, but more more opportunity.
You guys are fantastic. Great work. Ben Ranchi in Iowa, Glenn Newcomer over in Ohio. Thank you, guys. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, come back to 206 Central this afternoon. John Payne right here on AgriTalk.